Well, it's good to see all of you this morning. I so much appreciate you taking the time to be here. We're going to try and keep everything to an hour tops as best we can, and like most Sundays. And so I just appreciate you being here. Let me open us up in prayer. Father, I do thank you for this morning, and I thank you that we have your attention and presence and grace and forgiveness. And I pray that those would be tangible and real to us in a way that we can perceive changes the way we feel and experience our world, our life, our relationships. Pray as our service is about to kick off this morning that we would have an opportunity together as a community to worship you. Even though we're distant in most cases, Lord, I pray that you would bless us with the opportunity to worship, to be drawn in closer to understanding how amazing you are, God, and how much you've given us. Pray as we spend this time this morning as leaders trying to lead the various places that we have charged to lead well for your church and for your kingdom's sake. I pray, God, you grant us wisdom and encouragement, skill, great ideas maybe coming from one another, Lord, and just pray that we would be blessed by your provision this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So thanks for joining us, everybody. I'd love to start off with a couple of updates. I invited Hannah to come and just give us a brief overview on what's going on with campus lately. And Hannah, I don't want to constrain you in any particular way. So anything you feel like could be valuable for our city leaders to hear about, we'd love to hear about it.
Hi, I think I know everyone on this call, but it's great to see you guys. Feels like a treat to see your faces this morning. Yeah, thanks, Jack, for that the hand. So just to give you like a broad brush overview of where we're at campus-wise, the last like 2 to 3 years, we've just been really seeking the Lord to ask, man, how do we fight against the consumerism culture that's like so prevalent in America, so prevalent on campus? How do we, help students increase their ownership in their walk with the Lord so that they're not like dependent on this community or this church, but they're sent out and hopefully successful in walking with Jesus for the rest of their lives. You know, we have equipping for life as one of like our big dreams as a church, and we've just been really trying to pray that God would make that happen on campus and make like large scale like structure changes, and be praying a lot that God would do that work. That's like our heart's desires, that we'd show people Jesus, equip them for life, send them out, and that they'd be kingdom rock stars all over the world. Some like things just for you guys to know. Most of you, I think, have like been a part of a New Life team at one point. So one of the things we did is we moved from New Life teams that were largely staff-led to home groups that are primarily student-led, that are lightweight, low maintenance, not like a big thing you show up to, but just really kind of like simplified spaces where we're in scripture, we're in prayer, we're doing life together. Hopefully things that can be like, practiced and reproduced for the rest of someone's life. And similarly too, there we've moved from, again, a lot of you at some point were probably in a campus D group, and we've moved from D groups being like a space just for leaders to something that anyone who's wanting to grow as a disciple of Jesus can opt into. There are high accountability spaces, high commitment spaces, places where we really think like, man, the kind of like transformational work that we've all experienced that comes from like a few people really walking closely together, sharpening one another, pursuing the Lord together. Those are the spaces that we're like really inviting people into for that kind of, I would say like more transformational discipleship than what often happens in like a Sunday morning or even a home group setting. So that's like big picture, some of what's been happening within the pandemic. Just a few things I wanted to ask for prayer for. I'm sure similar to you guys and people in the groups that you've been leading, Zoom fatigue is so real. So real. And so the thing that I've been praying is that everyone who has been a part of New Life Church over the last year and like the campus side would live devoted to Jesus and committed to the church, regardless of if that's our church or not. So a handful of students are back home. Most students who had apartments or are sophomores or older are coming back to campus. So we're excited for like outdoor fires and long walks, and the staff and student leaders are still really fighting creatively to get time with one another. This fall, we like tried so many different things to try to engage with students within the pandemic constraints. But it's hard. It's like campus is pretty dead if you guys haven't been. There's people just are not out and about. A lot of freshmen, like it was pretty normal for freshmen to not have a roommate and to spend most of their time in their room. So even just thinking about like your own freshman experience, like that's just wildly different than normal. So yeah, we're just praying that God would like this semester, as there are like fewer people who are involved, again, largely because of the pandemic. We're just praying that he would raise up like wholehearted, resilient, lifelong followers. Like I think the thing that has like been so motivating to me is like, if a student will follow Jesus now, choose to live as he lived, choose to like fight to be in community now, what can't they do? Like if they can make it through this trial and walk with him now, that is going to bear so much fruit for decades and decades to come. So I'm excited about the remnant, I would say, of students that are with us, and the possibility for like lifelong followership, lifelong kingdom impact that can and I think will come from that. So that's what I got.
Thanks so much, Hannah. I I've really appreciated how enduring our campus team has been in terms of just persevering under difficult circumstances, staying really committed to the possibility that people can still be drawn into relationship with God and grow deeper with him. And we're going to work with whoever God brings, and we're going to still press hard in those creative spaces to try and be open and receptive to meeting more people and making connections. And so you guys have just been working really hard. Also, I'm really excited about how much alignment that we have right now between our campus model and our city model. I think that in all my years of doing city ministry here, which is less than others of you here, we have the smoothest transition going right now that we've had, in part because the group dynamics are so similar in terms of style and format. I think it's been easier for people to make that transition between undergrad and, so to speak, real life after there, that can always be really, really hard for people. So
totally. Yeah, we just were like, oh, we should just do what you guys are doing. There's so much wisdom to it. So sorry it took us so long to catch up.
No, I just feel grateful we have the link and the connection right now. So I feel like it's God's providence in giving us some of those simpler, lighter structures in this season when we really needed that flexibility.
Yeah. And I'll say too, just like as a, I don't know, maybe like whenever new normal hits, whatever that is, whenever that is, as you guys are, I don't know, just in your groups, if you are connected with anyone who's like, man, I would love to hop into a campus group, or I want to be more connected to undergrads, please like let me know. We don't have anything like formal in that vein, but if and as that exists, we'd love to like talk more. And similarly, if kind of like you said, Joel, I feel like we've been trying to get better at helping people as they graduate, either transition to a city group or to another church in Ann Arbor, if that's what they want. So even if you guys have input for us in terms of how to make that transition smoother, would love to know for sure.
We still dream of the possibility of having a connection between city and campus groups. In some sense, if you will, almost an adopted, we're gonna be group buddies or something along those lines. There's better terminology to be had out there. But our hope before the pandemic hit was that we would get all the pieces in play this fall so that each home group could have a connected relationship with campus and city. And that really helps. Like for me, when I'm shepherding campus students as they graduate into the city, the ones that I know because I've been on a spring break trip or I've been in their home group space, so much easier for them to jump into those spaces. And then they know each other and they already have connections. So we still dream of doing that. Obviously, I think, Hannah, you mentioned in that new normal space, hopefully those opportunities will be more prevalent and easier to make those connections. But that's still an idea that we love and think it's got a ton of traction. Hannah, I don't
Can
know
I ask if, a question.
Yeah, I was going to ask Hannah, who's willing to be on the spot in case anybody has questions for her too.
Go Hannah, ahead. Our group, our home group, has traditionally done something throughout the years in regards to trying to connect with a campus group. So the last couple of years been participating in those, you know, linking up of groups in years past, you know, making little blessing bags for like exam weeks, things like that. Do you have any sense of things that I don't know where our home group is at, and but just again, traditionally we've done this stuff, so it could probably come up in conversation. Are there things that a city home group could do in the midst of a pandemic that you could foresee being a gift or a blessing to students?
I'll think on that and get back to you. I do think the things that are traditionally like most beneficial for students are just getting to see someone's life. So like when I said, if there's anyone who would be interested in hopping into a campus group, just like someone being around who's following Jesus as they're working, so valuable. So immensely valuable. That and anytime students are in like homes, I think there's like so much value there. So those things are really hard to, there's not an easy translation for that in the pandemic, but I will write that down and pray about it and get back to you, Kevin, one way or another.
Yeah, if you want to get back to Joel, we can send that out to the whole team, because Kevin, I don't think you're the only one with that question, and I love your group and your group's heart to serve.
Yeah, specifically on that, Hannah, be thinking about like as weather warms up, because I know that a lot of stuff's outdoors, but or has been, but in the spring, like is there a way for a home or home groups to, you know, say, hey, we'll have people over to hang out for a fire or do something outdoors? Is that something students or a group of students would be up for?
For us during the fall, Nick and I hosted multiple times the home group that he's involved with outdoors. And I feel like it was just helpful to have a space, you know, that was large enough that could have a fire. We projected a movie one night, just things like that. And it's nice to have a place that's a house, like you could, you know, set out food or like I could set up stuff inside and bring it out. So I think as weather gets warmer, that's really a nice option for people.
Does sound like a great time.
Yeah. And it is definitely a dream deferred, as we hope to have at this point have launched an intergenerational advisory team that's made up of campus and city to create those links and those ongoing relationships. So we had thought at this point, each home group would be linked to a campus group and have done at least two things together. So we're really looking forward to getting back to that and building those relationships when it's safe.
Hannah, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm going to put my number in the chat in case anyone doesn't have it. And if there's more you want to talk about.
Who would be willing to pray for Hannah and the campus and what they shared today, what she shared today?
I can do that.
Thank you.
Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for the time that Hannah made to join us. And just thank you for her and the leadership that she has and that she is just projected to the whole campus ministry. It is awesome, Lord. It's exciting to see. It's exciting to hear about. And I just pray that you lift her up, lift up her family, Lord, and lift up the other campus leaders. And just thank you for the work they're doing in these kids. These students and young adults, and I just pray that you bless them, bless their ministry, bless their hearts. Pray that you just shine through this pandemic time and all of the different obstacles it brings to ministry, Lord. I just pray that those hearts that need you, Lord, so badly, I just pray that you connect them, Lord, to new life and to the different opportunities that are there despite the obstacles and the differences from the past, Lord. The new kids don't know any different. And so I pray that you can just connect them anyways and to have them shine and to just really have your presence shine on campus. So we just pray that you fortify her and fortify the leaders and that you just shine through, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks for having me. You're all super wonderful.
Bye, Hannah.
Thanks, Hannah.
Melissa, can we go to you next for New Life Kids update?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great to see everyone today. I am here to share a little bit about our new vision for New Life Kids in this new year. The NLK advisory team and I have been working on just seeking the Lord's will for what he would have for our kids ministry in 2021. And I think we anticipate that it will be a pivotal year for us with a lot of different things. And those circumstances are unpredictable. And so we wanted to really pray and consider and receive the Lord's leading in what it would look like to have conceptual vision for our families and our kids' ministry that we can continue to press forward into each month without having it be tied to any specific COVID circumstances that may or may not change where and how we are doing kids' ministry in the coming year. So with that, we are going to be refocusing on worship, community, and mission with an emphasis on community, a lifestyle of community in 2021. What does it look like to live committed? And I wanted to share with you the discipleship pathway disc, because we've been using that and are going to continue using that. And it's available online. Anyone can use that at any time. It's on discipleshippathway.org. If you look at it, we've got our three worship, community, and mission, and this community section is really where we're going to be looking at. And so over the next 6 months, what we are going to do is challenge and encourage and teach our kids, what does it look like to live in community right now? Community does not mean you always have to be in person with someone in order to be in community with them. But we do that by living life with the local church, and we build one another up in love. And with that, we've got all of our ongoing actions that we're going to spend time on by assigning a monthly theme to the next 6 months of our year. I'm really excited about this because Jesus calls us to encourage one another and build each other up in love. He calls us to stir one another towards love and good works, to learn to care about others and communicate with them, to have a heart of compassion for others and for our world, and to learn how to resolve conflict in a godly way. So what we are going to be doing is assigning a monthly theme and sharing that with our kids ministry and our families via email and the New Life Kids Facebook group to encourage families to watch that video together, to spend time with their kids, talking about what does it look like to live life with a local church right now and how they can be taking an active step to do that. The heart is really multi-leveled. I think we feel this is a real need in our families and our kids ministry right now. The feedback we're hearing from families and from you guys is that really, like, kids are struggling to just have spaces of connection, meaningful connection and community with others right now. And feeling that need and anticipating that as everyone's circumstances may change and alter based on what is best for family and engaging in activities throughout this coming year, it's going to be a difficult adjustment for kids who haven't seen people in a long time, or maybe for kids who have been seeing people, but relationships and friendships have changed over the last 9 months. They have changed over the last 9 months. And we want to equip and resource both our kids and our families to be able to do that with God's grace. So with kids, we're gonna be looking for how to help them communicate with each other. What does it look like to normalize a phone call through the NLK phone tree in the month of March? What does it look like to write a letter or a card to a friend and have an NLK pen pal in the month of April? And looking in February as we live life together, what does it look like to live committed? So if you're committed in your family to the local church of New Life Church, living committed is sticking to something. It's committing to something that you you identify with, that you participate in, that you take an active role in. And one way we can live life together is by sharing needs and wants. So in the February, we're hoping to have a Google Doc, kind of like a bulletin board style, as Warren said, from our NLK advisory team, where our kids are going to brainstorm their needs and wants. And we're going to look to the kids and our families to share where they can maybe meet a need or a want for another family right now. Maybe someone really needs a bike, and another person has a bike that they can't use right now, but that they'd be happy to share to give. You can sign up to bless another friend with that. We're hoping to teach kids how to find common interest. I love that. I need a sled too, Jack. We'll see what we can do. We're hoping to help kids find common ground and common interests, learn how to have a conversation with another peer. And I am praying with the New Life Kids Advisory Team that this time in preparation for whatever the next phase of life looks like, resuming in-person activities when that time comes, helps prepare kids with the resources and skills that they will need to communicate with each other, but ultimately the life skills of being on mission and communicating as followers of Jesus Christ. By learning how to care for someone and be a prayer partner, they will know that they have to follow up with that person. They will understand what it looks like to ask really good conversation questions and hopefully feel comfortable leading into that space and be able to bless people that they may or may not know well, but that they can really show Jesus to you. And so I would love to ask for your prayers as we go through these next 6 months of topics, as well as your encouragement with your family and the families in your groups to really take an active role in participating. One of the challenges that I see with something like this is, you know, we don't have a space where we're meeting in person. And so my ability to connect with your child is based on your engagement with the resources we're putting out there. And you can opt in or out as you want to, for sure. But without your help and your support, it is going to be a little difficult, I think, to help a kid participate in a phone tree. You know, they might need your encouragement to see, okay, when can I call my five-year-old friend this week? Maybe mom should text a little bit, or the dad should reach out and say, oh, hey, Saturday's a great time. Like, anytime on Saturday would be awesome. So your support in that would be amazing, as well as your prayers. And we would also love to ask just for your feedback, thoughts, if you have things that would be helpful. We're aiming to have this be a space where kids of all ages can communicate and participate. So it's not just geared towards little kids, it's geared towards our middle schoolers and our teenagers too. Again, the concepts are unchanging and they are the same. They're concepts that I think I could use to even refocus on a little bit in this year. So the Discipleship Pathway Disc is gonna be our guide. We're focusing in on community, and we just love your prayers and engagement with that as we go forward.
Thanks, Melissa, really appreciate that. How much energy you're putting in despite how difficult circumstances are and the difficulty in connecting. It's really makes me very grateful we hired you. All that time.
Oh, I'm really glad to be here. This church is my family, and I love each of you very much.
I'm Josh and Carly. For our kind of close to last update, love to have you guys cover what's happening with our high school.
Yeah, like everything, the high school ministry looks a lot different right now. We're remaining with our virtual meetings right now. And we've noticed that the group discussion time has changed in character a lot as we've been virtual. And what the kids really want is not really a group space where they're hearing someone talk to them, because that's what they've been experiencing with school. But a virtual space where they can connect to each other. So we've kind of shifted our focus from the large group discussion to our small groups, because that's where they share life together, which is something that we've noticed they really need. Mm. So our home group meetings look a lot more like a little bit of big discussion and fun, and then mostly discussion in small groups and connection there. The other thing that we're trying to do starting this winter, since we're indefinitely in virtual mode, is trying to do fun things outside together. So we know that the kids want to be together, and we're hoping that they're willing to brave the outdoors in order to do that. So this week we have a scavenger hunt planned. We've planned some other events that we can do outside, like sledding. We're thinking about doing a winter carnival at some point, just things that we can do outside and be together and have fun, because fun is a lot better in person. So that's some of our big pushes. Right now in we definitely could use sleds. We will reach out when we start doing that. That would be great.
And Jack, you should come.
But yeah, so right now also in our home groups, we're doing a series on identity and learning about our identity in Christ. We just think that that's something that high school students especially really need to focus on. And we've already had some great discussions as they're thinking about colleges and careers, about how we can be honoring Christ in whatever occupation we choose, whatever college we go to, whatever post-graduation plans we have. And it really seems like something that the high school students are very interested in talking about. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about that. The other big thing that we have this year that's different is that Spring Hill is not offering winter retreats. And we know that that's been a big, exciting event for the students in the past few years. So we're working really hard to come up with some sort of an alternative that can still be fun, and mostly that can still bring a good time to build community and to build our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to be creative and trying to build plans that can remain no matter what our situation is with the coronavirus. But we would definitely love your prayers and any ideas that you have in trying to make that experience something powerful for the students. And we're hoping to do something big for that. So
part of that retreat kind of idea is we would most likely be pushing it later than normal to have a little bit more mild conditions outside. So that will be a longer wait for that, but hopefully it will be worth it. So
oh, cool. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate that. I you guys have been doing a fantastic job stepping in for Chelsea and just almost seamlessly just right into the system that we have, and love seeing how much heart and passion you're putting into this. I think you guys can see from a leadership perspective, we have a lot of people working really hard to adjust to really difficult circumstances right now. And that's you guys too, those of you who are leading groups. That space, if anything, has become even more critical, I think, in the life cycle of our church, how people experience community. So our groups actually have been on a pretty steady increase in terms of the number of people involved. Nothing dramatic, but really steady, actually. I was just looking at the numbers this morning, and last couple of years, we've pretty much continued to just go up. We had 15 new people that we've integrated into groups since the fall at this point. And we have more that Sarah Marie and I are connected with right now that we're trying to get integrated in. I would love to start another home group. One of the things that's a little tricky right now is that with a lot of our home groups, we're pretty well established in the sense of they're meant to be intergenerational, but we really have kind of like one new person coming in at a time, maybe two on occasion. And so to get them integrated into a group that's already been pre-existing, that's always a bit of a challenge. But if the groups themselves have had a good chunk of time and history together, that can be even a little more tricky. So sometimes it's just helpful to have groups that are fairly new, where the relationships aren't 15 years established, and there's a good mix of people. So if you have anybody in your groups that is you think might be in a position where they could lead a home group space, don't hesitate to let us know, because we would be interested in connecting with them. We have groups right now Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. Most of the groups are on Sunday night. I think that's a pretty good spread in terms of nights, but because most of our groups are meeting Sunday, it makes it a little more tough for midweek options for people that want to be engaged midweek. And we're seeing a lot of people that want to get involved that are in their 20s, mostly this year, early 30s, that are just kind of out of college in that working phase, getting connected. So we have, let's see, is there anything else I want to say? 11 groups going out right now, 11 home groups, 8 standalone discipleship groups. That's kind of our current setup. And kind of 150 to 200 adults. I need to relook at the numbers this morning because there was a couple of campus groups included in the home group numbers that I looked last, and so I had to double check. So any questions on all that? I saw one pop in the chat that I didn't have a chance to read. Yeah, Carol, so I was going to address Carol's real quick on the chat. We have two Sunday night home groups right now that are a pretty good mix of singles and a few couples. And so it's been pretty easy to integrate singles. There's a there are several groups that integrating singles in is not that difficult. But at this point, singles are just intermingling with all the rest of our home groups. And so it would be nice to get the home groups to a space where they're not 90% married couples, but we're not going to do that by pulling people out. So we're just trusting over the course of the time that God will create that intermingling as he so chooses. But it's easier to do it from scratch with new groups that just start as a good mix right from the get-go. Warren, were you going to ask a question? Did I miss?
Yeah, it was me.
Kevin, sorry.
Yeah. One question I had, I was intrigued. I can't remember when it happened, but I know Nick and Emily kind of helped kickstart a group, I think is what I remember happening. Maybe Emily can remind me of that. But just the idea that the cost feels like we're so integrated with our home group. I don't foresee anyone in our group saying, oh yeah, we want to leave and go start another group. But the thought of, hey, we can stay in this home group, and part of the way we serve is we also step out and help kickstart another group get going. But at some point we pull back out of that group. Is that a concept that you guys are still open to, or where does that fall?
Certainly open to it. Nick and Emily actually haven't pulled out of.
We're still there.
So
thanks for clarifying.
They're really running more of a, we're going to be in both spaces, kind of a track. I have seen consistently over the years that groups need a core to have some stability, and that needs to be about five or six people typically. You could in couples group dynamics it tends to be about three couples, and so you've got to get enough of a core dynamic in place that you could step out, and then you need another set of leaders or facilitators for the group that need to be in place in order for that dynamic to work. So that sometimes happens and sometimes doesn't. We open to it? Absolutely.
I should warn you, Kevin, that Rick and my experience in taking the second group is that you just love them so much you don't want to leave. So then you end up with a second group.
Emily, were you going to add something too?
Yeah, well, we just found that all those statements have been true. Like we actually pulled out of our first group. So we weren't doing two groups to try and jump in and start that second group, which was really hard on our kids. So we found that after a while, when it looked obvious that we could not pull out, there just wasn't the stability of the group that we had to jump back in with our other group as well. So yeah, I feel like our real plan was just to kickstart this group, but that did not materialize. So, and it's a good group, and we feel like with us in it, it's a stable group, but to pull us out feels challenging. So yeah,
it doesn't work if you're not in it right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that was my experience. I've done that two times over the years, started other groups, and actually did jump out of both of them. And they lasted for various, more than a year, but most of them lasted 2-3 years. And the challenge became there wasn't, I think we found like having three core couples is the most stabilizing. And my wife and I were usually the third couple. And so it left it with two solid couples, which was awesome. But if one of those leaves, it just becomes a real strain on the other couple that's really trying to hold it all together. So for what it's worth.
Thanks.
We have some other content I don't want to miss today. And so thanks so much for participating in this discussion. Really appreciate it. I wish we had more time too. So Sarah Marie, without further ado, could I give you the floor to introduce some of our new materials?
Yes. So this may be the reason that some of you are even here today, is because we have been working since midway through last year on a document to help you utilize and feel equipped with the discipleship pathway in whatever group setting that you're in. So between ideas and feedback from each of you, city staff, Kyle, we have a document that we want to share with you today. Joel, could you do the screen sharing so I can just talk? So this document we are going to send to you as a Google Doc, and then you're also going to find it on the City Leaders resource page. If you're not sure how to find that or get to that, let us know in the chat or email us and we can help you do it. So you're going to see this document starts out with a little bit of the foundation and the history of why do we even have a discipleship pathway? How do we see this fitting in to our dream of making disciples who make disciples and follow Jesus for the long term? And then our goals, and then the purpose of the document. And the document is really a spot where we have taken what you've been doing, what you've been sharing, and tried to condense it into ideas that you can just directly pop into your group time or adapt to your group time. And we know that as you walk the discipleship pathway, you may be inspired by the Lord to add habits or actions that aren't listed, and you can feel free to do that. We just started with the habits and actions that we already have. So you'll see there are helpful links there as well. And then, yeah, go ahead and keep going, Joel. So then we broke it up into conversation starters, listening, prayer, and scripture for how to engage with your group in the discipleship pathway. So the conversation starters are designed to be mechanisms that help make talking about the discipleship pathway common, the language common, used regularly. And make it so that it's more routine. It's not, okay, now this is the discipleship pathway portion of our time. It just is what it is. We talk about how does your life look different, or how do you hope it will look different when you're walking on the discipleship pathway. Listening prayer, as we really want to be a church that's not leader-led or human-led. We each want to be led by the Lord. We're going to be focusing more on hearing from God, obeying him, and doing that with others. And so these are questions and ideas that all connect right to that listening prayer. So whether you spend a half an hour in listening prayer or shorter or longer, these are ideas that should work in your group. So suggested formats, if you want to go down a little bit more. These are three concrete ways to do listening prayer with your home group or D group. And then scripture and the discipleship pathway there are two very specific methods that we've included, but then there are also just questions, because the discipleship pathway is not meant to replace time with the Lord through scripture or prayer, but to enhance it and help us focus on it more. So you'll see those are links to those worksheets that you can print or share with people in your group or use them on your own. I think Joel and I have both been really blessed by the Lectio Divina studies. It's experiencing scripture through layers. So this document is for you to use, to share, to print, whatever would be helpful to you. We want you to feel equipped, empowered, and like you know where to start with utilizing the discipleship pathway. I think we all felt thrown into the deep end when we made the transition to using the discipleship pathway in our home groups and D groups. And we hope as a staff team that this would be a blessing to you. What questions do you have about this document or how to utilize it? Joel, can you drop the link in the chat? People might want to look at it. I talked fast, assuming that you'd have questions or thoughts on it.
I appreciate you guys giving us questions to ask, so thank you for that.
the one about which one do you want us to avoid asking about was funny. So, but in general, I think it'll be helpful. So thank you.
Welcome. We also expect that as you engage with your group, that you are going to come up with great questions or formats or exercises in your group. And we would still love to hear about what's working well for you and even add them to this document as well.
So maybe just to clarify, Sarah Marie or yeah. Joel or whoever, is the intention that this is a, what you said, like to add to the document, is this like a living document that people are going to be editing, or is this like a?
Nope, you unfortunately do not have edit powers, but the city staff does. And if you would like us to add a great question that you've thought of or,
I see, okay.
Or another exercise to use, we'd be happy to add that for you.
I got you. Okay.
Unless you really good pitch for why you did it.
All right. Mwahaha.
Discipleship Pathwayopedia page. On the top, one of the things we listed is just our goals with this and I just want to reiterate that the point of this is not to wipe out your current plan or agenda for groups, but to get into a space culturally that we're living and learning the discipleship pathway as a community. It's just part of who we are, part of how we do life. And so the spirit of this is to help integrate into how your group just does your group. And so it doesn't mean you can't do a Francis Chan study. It doesn't mean you can't go to the park and have conversations.
Yeah.
The idea is how do we integrate all those things in? So we wanted to find ways where engaging the pathway in the group spaces can be modular enough that you can do it easily without having to disrupt the rhythm you've already established in group, which by itself is a difficult thing to pull off. And most people have some sort of level of attachment to even why they're there in the community as part of the rhythm of why you guys do what you do and how you do it. So the spirit of this is to be less intrusive than attempt number one, but also we're clinging on. We're not letting go of this one. We really feel like this is, I think you're seeing it wholeheartedly across campus and city in our youth spaces. This is how we want to help make disciples. And ultimately, the desire is every single person's walking with Jesus. All this just helps support that.
And we hope that having it, providing you with more structure and direction will be a blessing to you as well. I think in the beginning, we really hope that each person would, you know, make it their own for their group. And we know that you are each the expert in your group, and we don't want to prescribe to you a way of doing things, but we hope that this document will be a blessing to you as you figure out in your group, what does that look like? Questions about what you're reading or thoughts? Rogan says no.
Not now. I'm sending it to my co-leader now, so
yeah,
on it.
Thank you. Yeah, it'll be on the city resource page. When we send out the audio from this time, it'll be on there as well. But it's not a leader-only document. So if you have someone that you are discipling or apprenticing to lead in your group, or you just think that as you and someone grow in your relationship with the Lord together, that this could be a helpful framework, please share it. Please feel free to share it widely.
Thanks, everybody. I think we have time for one final discussion topic. We wanted to just ask you what's been going well for you in your group spaces last couple weeks or months. Are there new things that you're trying to adjust to the circumstances and are even curious how that's playing out? So in the spirit of we're all in this together, trying to figure this out together, we wanted to ask those two questions and see if you guys are, what you're thinking, what your groups are doing, see if there's any ideas we can be sharing and benefiting one another with.
I wanted to just share for our Christmas meeting, Emily Gray is amazing and put together this whole kit, and then she dropped it off to each member of our D group. And we did face masks and then came to D group like on the Zoom with wearing our face masks, which was just really funny. And so we did that together. We did, she had a little hot chocolate kit in there. We did this ornament painting thing from A&R workshop, and we all like on Zoom together, like decorated these ornaments and shared them, these like wooden ornaments with paint. There was like fuzzy socks in there, like all these different little things. It was amazing. And we all did it together on Zoom, and it was awesome. So it was just a really cool thing. And yes, Christmas related, but I liked the idea of like putting together a little kit and then taking the effort of dropping them off at each person's house and just then doing the thing together. It was really cool. So
yeah, there's another women's group that did something similar that worked out really well. They the group leader purchased small canvas and paint sets and delivered them, and they all painted along to an art Sherpa video on YouTube. She does step-by-step painting, and that they reported that that was one of their favorite group times too.
It was fun.
To add to that, Emily planned a very similar thing. I didn't participate in the women's group stuff. I saw the results of it, but for our home group space, for our last group of the year, what I really loved what she did in that space is she did a phenomenal job doing things to get all the kids involved. And we have quite the age range in our home group, from college student to, you know, young kids. And so, again, I think just the games, the activities, that really got the whole family together, was outstanding. So,
yeah, they were all minute to win it games. And she again put kits together for each family and dropped them off, with a lot of the supplies. And then it was all like Christmas related minute to win it games, and the whole, our home group, I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, it's been a challenge that we used to have like this whole massive get together every other Sunday, and it was awesome with all the kids. And in the Zoom world, the kids really aren't involved at all. Like, it's just the parent couples, which is kind of, you know, reality, but this was really awesome to then get all the kids together too. And so all the kids and parents all did the activities together, all on Zoom, and it was really great.
Anything else?
Our group, Joel, our group a little less complicated and not so crafty, because I am not Emily Gray. But one of the things we did that was kind of effective was we just do a lot of prayer requests. But then we assigned everyone a person to reach out to during that week or 2 weeks between our meetings. And, you know, Rick and I kind of carefully picked people who didn't necessarily know each other super well as partners, you know, and asked them to just at some point during that 2 week period to send a text or encouragement and to be praying for that one person. You know, we obviously weren't in on the individual conversations that happened, but we really did notice after that there seemed to be a little more connection between people who maybe didn't know each other. We have a couple of newer couples. And so we're seeing just a little more variety in those connections. And it's been really hard because our group's only an hour long. Most of the kids are very small, and so the parents want to meet after they're in bed. So that's late, like 8:30 to 9:30. But it does seem like we're seeing people really hungry for connection, and those who are there are real open and just, you know, praying together, sharing our prayer requests, and having a person that we follow up on and say, hey, I was praying for this for you, how's it going, seems to be good. I mean, like I said, we just really love the folks in this newer group, and it's been a blessing to
feel connected to kind of some different things than like our normal day to day. So.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's really good. Particularly when you're starting off a group where you're clearly defined leader, or you're the central connection for everybody. It's hard to make that group the kind of community experience you want unless those relationships begin to be.
Well, we do have bets too, so that's like a secret weapon.
Any other ideas, thoughts you guys have, things you're trying? They don't have to be at like a crazy success. It could just be, hey, we're trying this, then the verdict is still out.
The verdict is still out for us, but we're really excited to like commit to being outside. I think as Michiganders, we all have the gear, but we don't always take the opportunities to be outside. So we're really excited to try it out and see how it goes and still be safe. So yeah, we'll see.
I was going to say, I've been with two guys in our discipleship group now. We've gone on long walks together outside in different parks, basically pick a park between where both of us live. And that's just led to some really good connection time, one-on-one connection time in the context of walking through a woods or a field. So I throw that out there.
I will say anecdotally, we had the staff team, a bunch of staff who were willing and wanted to gathered at a park and went for a long walk on some trails. But the interesting thing, I thought that would be the most exciting and fun part for me, life-giving. The thing that was most life-giving was actually when we came back and we just sat in a parking lot and ate together. So for what it's worth, if you're longing for connection or others are in your group kind of thinking that way, I think the idea of, even though it's cold, pick a day that the sun may come out, which are rare in this state, and just go find a place to hang outside distanced, and it does a lot.
Melissa and I have been spending a lot of time in the King's Garage. They have a heater set up in there and some chairs, and we're able to social distance in their garage, and that's worked out well. And then I've also been super blessed by long walks. It seems like in these times where, similar to what the Woods were saying, that people aren't craving that large group experiences as much as they are that smaller group. And so getting together with one person or two people and putting some miles in has, you know, if you'd asked me in 2019 what people would love about the ministry God's entrusted to us walking, would not have been what I said. But I agree, like if you can make time to get outside with someone, even if you're pushing a stroller or, you know, on a mission to get coffee or something, it's been a good use of time.
I have found too that in terms of just energy, Zoom meetings can be a little bit brutal. And so I've actually been doing more with just telephone calls. And I think there's just a lot less energy in trying to have to pay attention to cues, and you just listen to a person's voice. And I can sometimes be walking at the same time I'm doing it. So it's been a lot more refreshing and light on my soul in terms of connecting with people. I just feel better after the time. Versus that, like I connected with them, but I'm not a big fan of being on Zoom all day. So phone, it's old school, but might be better in some cases, maybe not for a whole group meeting, but smaller connections. Jack, would you be willing to pray to close us out this morning? I know I'm totally putting you on the spot, but.
Certainly.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Great. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and for the chance to be equipped to center ourselves on a goal and ultimately to desire for ourselves and for the groups that we play a role in leading to align with your will more, to see you and experience you more. That is my prayer today, God. Pray that every home group in our church, whether it's based in the city or based in the campus, would would come to know you and experience you more deeply, come to love who you are and to recognize your character, and that we wouldn't be satisfied with just, making our lives better and surviving, but we would reach a place where we can be led by you to bless others with how we've been blessed, to love others, to step into the world with courage, and to take steps of courage, even in hard times. So I pray for endurance, God. We pray for resilience that comes from your Spirit. Would you give it to us? Would you remove every barrier in the name of Jesus? Would you remove every barrier that keeps us from hearing your voice and communing with you? Give this up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much for being here today, everybody. Really appreciate it. Hope you have a great rest of your Sunday.